Thank you, Mark. As Mark said, my name's Lucas Haig, assistant science staff Tribune for just shy of 3 years. Recently went back to campus. I worked under Alan Schlegel, the agronomist in charge out there at Tribune. And I'm going to speak about some studies that really Alan's graciously let me work with the data on. These plots, for those of you who don't know, I'll start off real quickly. That's where Tribune, Kansas is. 16.9 inches of rainfall is our long-term average. The station's about 14 miles off the Colorado line, very much a semi-arid environment. Primarily dry land cropping systems with some limited irrigation in that region. So these plots I'm talking about today, you'll see the overall objectives of these when Alan started back in 93 was to operate as a long-term study, yet have the flexibility to evolve to answer changing questions from producers. You know, there's some things producers find small plots acceptable for. Typically, rotation studies is not one of those. It was a very strong feeling from the producer advisory group at the time that this rotation study be done with production scale equipment. The goals was to provide data to the research and public policy community. I mean, in that terms, these plots have been used to guide some RMA policies regarding crop insurance, and also to provide demonstration opportunities for extension in industry, and provide a research site where new management techniques can be evaluated within long-term rotation conditions. So there's the plots. Each phase of the rotation is present every year. All field operations are done with production-type equipment. There's three reps. Rep 1 is twice the length of Rep 2 and 3. So the whole plots measure 100 by 900 or 100 by 450 feet. And then we have some border, and then within that is three 20-foot subplots, which we use for other management effects or multiple varieties to give the average of those subplots, we believe, represents a whole farm-type management strategy. So whole plots rotation phase, subplots different varieties of management. And we measure soil water in each subplot with a combination of gravimetric and neutron attenuation down to 8 feet in 1-inch increments, or excuse me, 1-foot increments. The plot area was initially native sod. It was broke out in 1988 and was kind of in a flexible wheat fallow. The plots were established in 93. The first phase of the study was basically to evaluate tillage, looking at wheat fallow and wheat sorghum fallow with different combinations of tillage. As producers and needs evolved in 98, the decision was made to go entirely no-till, with the exception of one reduced-till wheat fallow plot that serves as our long-term check. There's just to give you an idea, not that I expect you to read that, but it gives you an idea of the 20 different slots we have available in the study and how those rotations have changed over time. And so moving forward into what we want to talk about today, a couple years ago we presented some data on rotation effects on available soil water at planting. And so today we're going to move into to fallow efficiency. And so just, I know everyone in this room is familiar, but fallow accumulation change in soil water at the end of the fallow period versus the beginning. And then, accumulation and then fallow efficiency is that change in soil water divided by the precip we received during that time. And so as we're all well aware, you know, factors affecting fallow efficiency, surface residue, the size of the precipitation events we receive, and tillage that we impose in that system. And all that affects our evaporative losses, which is essentially what we're battling to improve our efficiencies, store more water, and allow us to further intensify our cropping system. So just this is something that I'm not sure we'd ever really looked at before, but looking at what is the distribution of precipitation events within our fallow period, what size of events are we receiving? And so I have this broken down into a histogram here. These are bins of 10/100 increments in precipitation, of 10/100 of an inch, and this is the proportion of our total precip that falls in that size of an event. And so what's interesting is all these, basically all less than an inch is fairly evenly distributed, most of them representing, you know, around 5 to 6, 7% of our total fallow precip is pretty much evenly distributed in those. The exception is, for whatever reason, rainfall events in the 11 to 20/100 range, we seem to have a few more of those, and then again, most of our, almost 25% of our fallow precipitation comes in events 1 to 2 inches in size. That to me was kind of surprising when we plotted this out, and we get about 8% of our fallow precipitation in events over 2 inches. This is in a long fallow. This would be the wheat fallow system. Looking at the short fallow, the wheat sorghum, and like in a wheat sorghum fallow, a little more heavily distributed to the lighter events, and so that's going to affect us from an efficiency standpoint, but still very much dominated by this 1 to 2 inch category there. Okay, so what we did is we went through, and to give you an idea with the soil water measurements, with the 2012 crop year, our soil water database will exceed 40,000 entries. And so being able to mine this data out, we're stretching the limits of Excel at this point, and certainly stretching beyond what you can do with cut, copy, paste. And so it's taken some time to build the necessary queries and the databases to pull these out. And we want to look at things that we can compare in the same years, due to differences in precip and the size of those precipitation events. And so the first thing we're looking at here, and this is one of our longer time periods that we can look at, is wheat fallow from 1993 to 98. This is the first phase of the study where we was looking at tillage. And really no surprises here. It agrees with everything else in the literature, but it gives us an idea of the type of numbers we can expect at Tribune in that area of the Central High Plains. And that is, you know, on our no-till, we're typically accumulating 6.3 inches, reduced till 5.5, and then the conventional till just a hair under 3.25. And so significant differences in accumulation between the three treatments. When we get over to the efficiency side, what's interesting is there's enough extra noise in the efficiency side of it that we lose that significance between the no-till and reduced till, that they actually drop out the same. But still, we have that gradient from almost 24% efficiency in the no-till down to a meager 12% in the conventional till. And so certainly some differences there in what it means to us. And that shows up, of course, in our available soil water planting. This is in wheat fallow at wheat planting. And so we have no-tills represented by the open circles and then the reduced till. Not many differences there with depth. And then the conventional till, significantly lower at almost every depth in the profile. So moving forward from that is, can crop choice, as we intensify our rotations beyond wheat fallow, can crop choice affect, we know our crop choice affects our surface residues in terms of how much residue we're producing, what's the seed-to-end ratio of that residue, what's the durability of that residue through the fallow period, and so how does our crop choice affect fallow efficiency? And so this is looking at, so it's fallow method, that's incorrect, this is rotation. But we're looking at fallow efficiency in a wheat sorghum fallow versus a wheat sunflower fallow. And we know certainly at Tribune that our residues from sorghum are much more durable. They last longer in the season, and typically sorghum produces more residue than sunflower. And we see that play out in our fallow efficiencies after we harvest that row crop until we plant the wheat. Almost an inch and a quarter difference in accumulation. And basically not quite a twofold difference in efficiency that way. What if we move to a stacked rotation? And this was work done in 01 through 06 where we was looking at wheat, corn, fallow, and then can we intensify that by stacking another row crop onto that? And so we had wheat, corn, sorghum fallow, wheat, corn, soybean fallow, and wheat, corn, sunflower fallow. And again, it ties in very much to what we know from our experiences at Tribune, that soybean's not a real good dry land crop option for us, and quite honestly, sunflower typically isn't either. And what it boils down to is what it does to us from a surface residue standpoint, which then affects our accumulation and our efficiency and the yield and productivity of the subsequent wheat crop. And so what's interesting, though, is you'd think that corn residue may be durable enough and long-lasting enough that it would mask the differences between, say, following it with sorghum versus one of our lower residue crops. But in fact, the corn residue is not enough to mask that difference. It still shows through very significant differences, whether we choose sorghum, soybeans, or sunflower as that stacked crop option, both in accumulation and in efficiency. And so having a durable residue as the first crop in the sequence does not necessarily protect us from making a low residue crop choice in that next slot in the sequence. And I think that's important as we look for ways to intensify our systems. And so this is kind of building off that. affects the crop sequence in 3 and 4 year rotations, where we're no longer looking at those lower residue crops, but what if we stack another sorghum, another corn in there, something that we know has more durable residue. And so what's interesting is we see no significant differences between the 3 and 4 year rotation, comparing, say, a wheat sorghum fallow versus a wheat sorghum corn fallow. That addition of the corn residue really doesn't, statistically, numerically, we see a little bit of a gain there in accumulation, but statistically we're seeing no difference in accumulation or efficiency by having that additional high residue row crop stacked in there. So looking at the sorghum, corn the same way, looking at a wheat corn fallow versus wheat corn and then adding a sorghum on there. I'm surprised this didn't drop out. You know, we're picking up numerically 1.5 inches of accumulation there. I think that's noteworthy, even though it's not statistically significant. And we see this, but what's interesting, though, is even though we see no differences in accumulation or efficiency from stacking that additional row crop on there, we do see differences in profile soil water at planting the next crop. And so this just leads us back to, we know there's differences in crop water use. And even though we're accumulating the same water and fallow at the same rate of efficiency, we're not overcoming the impact of growing that second crop and knowing that we're going to start out with less water in the profile. And so moving forward, we know that the size of our precipitation events and the amount of surface residue we have on the surface, we know that plays a role in our fallow efficiency. And so this is an example of taking out one of our longer-term data sets on the wheat fallow, 93 through 2011, doing a regression approach. And so looking at fallow accumulation, we have an intercept term here. So precipitation, and this comes back to our before we take our, we're in that 26% range roughly in terms of efficiency. So this average event, and so even though that's a really large number, but you got to think about this as a change in, you know, we're talking about what if we change the average size of our precipitation event by 1/100 or 5/1000ths of an inch, and that just moving that average really changes our impact on efficiency. That's probably the more interesting piece of this down here is on the efficiency side. Even though that intercept is not significant, fundamentally we believe that if we held rainfall events and residue at zero, our intercept should be negative. We would have evaporative losses, even if we had zero rain and zero residue on the surface. That evaporative loss would still exist, and so it's appropriate to have that intercept in the model. Average rainfall event. So if we increase the size of our average rainfall event by 1/100th of an inch, we can increase our precipitation storage efficiency by roughly 9/10%. Same way for every 1,000 pounds of residue we have on the surface, we can increase our fallow efficiency by 0.2%. And we have an interaction there that even though that says it's curvilinear, we believe within the bounds that we experience at Tribune, that's just showing that there's a diminishing returns to residue. We don't ever believe that within our world that goes negative. It's just capturing up until the plateau portion of that model. Acknowledgements, no studies like this occur without very dedicated field people. These studies take a tremendous amount of effort, and we receive support from the Oglala Aquifer Program, and that is all I have. So thank you. Yes, sir.
I'm assuming that wheat fallow is still the standard rotation.
Wheat sorghum fallow, I'd say, is probably much the base rotation of the region now. There's still a few holdouts, but us having wheat fallow on the station is much more of an oddity than it was 10 years ago. Wheat sorghum fallow and wheat corn fallow, quite honestly, we've had enough improvements in genetics and residue management that we're seeing a lot more wheat corn fallow and a lot of stacked rotations also when guys feel that the conditions warrant it.
And how much of that is in no-till?
On the wheat sorghum fallow part, it's really hard to gauge that because it changes by the years. Some guys have been in no-till and then 2 years ago drug their sweeps back out. And so trying to get a feel for it, I would guess in the immediate area of Tribune, maybe 50% is no-till. The rest of it's in reduced till or a very common practice there is to use, in the fallow period, is to do everything with herbicide control up until that last pass before drilling wheat and then make one pass with the sweeps. And so that's really the most predominant practice is that combination between herbicide and mechanical control that involves one tillage pass ahead of wheat seeding. All right, thank you.